Namaskaram everyone. I think today's podcast is going to add a lot of value to a lot of you guys who have always thought, you know, if only my CEO was, you know, was doing some Isha practices. Let's say I want to go for lap of the master, I could easily get a leave. Or if I wanted to do for some program, he would understand it because he himself is an Isha meditator. So if you're somewhere in the software field and if you're looking for jobs, if you're looking to work under a conscious CEO who is himself on a spiritual path, then I highly recommend that you listen to this podcast with Rohit Anna, because he's looking for conscious individuals to hire in his own company. So please listen to the podcast and reach out to Rohit Anna. And yeah, let's go into the podcast. Namaskaram everyone and welcome back to the podcast. Today we have a dear guest. We have Rohit Anna, who is a Isha meditator and also the founder and CEO of Novum, which is a company based in the US. So thank you for coming on today's show, Anna.
Thank you, Isaac. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So before we get into the podcast, Anna, I think there are certain kind of people that you are looking for in your company. Could you talk a bit about that before we
Yes.
get into the podcast?
Yes, definitely. So, you know, we're really trying to build a community of, you know, what we're calling conscious professionals, right? So people who, you know, I would say many of them who fit into our Isha community is the ones that I've been looking for. And, you know, we're a software agency. We help many, many other companies who are focused on sustainability and doing some impactful things. And so we want to have the right group of people who've had that background and experience. So those are the people I'm looking for.
Beautiful. So before we get more into that, we would love to know more about the conscious CEO of Novum. So Anna, we would before someone wants to join your company, I think it would be awesome if they know what kind of person they're working for and what is it that you're looking for. So if you could share about your own journey, right from wherever you're comfortable with, maybe a lot about your childhood, actually. We try to focus more on, you know, the spiritual aspects and yoga and more on the other things that you do as a person. So wherever you would love to start, Anna.
Yes, definitely. So childhood, you know, I think you probably hear from my accent. Most of my childhood was in the U.S. So until I was about 8 years old, I was in, I was born in Hyderabad, grew up there. And then when I was 8 years old, we moved here to San Diego, California. And there, you know, we traveled around a lot. And, you know, I think it's from a spiritual point of view, I think, you know, there are just many points in my childhood, right, where that was there, right? Whenever I had to make some key decisions, there was always something in me that I had to kind of make this one. Most of the times, I would just go, but when there's some critical moments in my life, it's always something that I had to choose, right? That's why I don't think many people, you know, in my situation who come to the U.S., usually they try to just kind of they don't want anything to do with almost with the Indian culture, this right. yoga, all these things.
Right.
So, you know, that was always something, right? When my grandparents would, you know, they would tell me the stories, right? Ramayana, Mahabharata, all of these things. They're just very fascinating for me. So, and I was always more drawn to these types of things. So, you know, just as I was going through teenage years, all of that, nothing, you know, majorly spiritual. I think after I started the company, actually, was when I became, you know, much more oriented in this direction. So I was doing some simple meditation, and then I came across, Sadhguru and some of his things. So
as a kid, did you miss India when you moved? And how was there a culture shock for you when you came? And how were you able to adjust with the kids in US? Like, I think it's a different culture of school.
Yeah. Especially, in the first few months, because I was just 8 years old, so third grade. So we, not many other Indian you know, students there also. So I had to learn the language. I barely knew English, you know, when I got here. So that was a challenge, but I picked it up very quickly because I was, you know, maybe within 2-3 months, I started speaking fluently. So it's a good age that I came, but definitely so many different things, right? That was there. The food that, you know, we would go to the cafeteria, try something. You know, my family is a vegetarian family, so okay, most of the food there, I didn't even know what it was made from. So quite a challenge.
I've only seen American schools in, you know, movies. Is it like that or like?
No, I don't. You know, for me, that wasn't my experience, right? Okay. So I didn't get bullied or anything like that.
Okay.
Generally, I would say most people were, you know, just they kind of did their own thing.
Were you into sports or anything? Because I think sports is an integral part of culture.
Yeah, so I did sports. So I did something called cross country. So we run, you know, long, like a 5-kilometer kind of a race, you can say, right? So that's one. So we would practice maybe 10 kilometers just, you know, running, jogging. Okay. And so that's kind of a competition. So that's what we do. Also, I played football, right? So we call it soccer here. Definitely those are some things that I would do just as a extracurricular activities. And actually, you know, there's times where, you know, I remember vividly, right, that I was one time when I was running, something happened in me and I was just able to keep running for some reason. I was able to keep up with, you know, the varsity team members at the time. I was just, you know, in the junior varsity type of a thing. But somehow, I don't know what had happened at the time, but just everything, right? My breathing was very good, all of that. And I was just able to go keep running. I didn't feel tired at all at the end of it. For me, that was a very spiritual experience, right? To do that, even during the sports times.
So what do you think happened? Like right now, you're doing all these practices. So what do you think happened then at that moment?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's still very difficult for me to kind of articulate how, but I do know that, you know, just the way of breathing, the way that I kept my body, somehow things just got aligned the right way. And I thought, how did this happen? You know, that whole time I was very curious, how did this happen? How do I make this happen continuously, right? And because it's just a very amazing kind of a state to be in. Same thing, you know, similar thing happened when I was playing football too. So, you know, just we were playing, kicking the ball around, you know, just doing that. And, you know, somehow then normally I think way too much, right? And get worried about, you know, am I doing this right? Am I stopping the ball properly? Am I passing to the right person? Lots of things just in my own head. And there were moments where I just stopped thinking, right? And then the way I played completely transformed, right? So just like very key moments where, you know, I noticed some really interesting things.
Beautiful, Anna. So from there, how did you plan? Like in India, usually it's 11th, 12th, then college. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we do engineering or doctor. So how does it work? How did you plan that life for yourself? Do you have any goals and ambitions that you wanted to start a company? Were you always into business? That mind was there? Or?
No, I was actually not at all into business because, you know, even my family, right? We were not like a merchant, not anyone who had businesses and things like that. So I always thought, okay, I would go maybe get a job at some corporate company and kind of go that way, right? My father was always pushing me, you know, to be either a doctor or go work at Google, Facebook, or these types of places. So I thought, okay, we can see, but I never had any intention in me to go do this. So only until I started, you know, kind of, I worked in corporate for a couple of years after I graduated college. And then, you know, wanted to do something different.
So how were your college days? You missed out all the spicy parts, Anna. You just skipped it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, College days. Okay, so I went to a university called Arizona State University. So that's where my family was living at the time, right? So we all moved there. So a large part of my high school career also was in Arizona. So, you know, so I would say that's probably, it was known as the party school of the country.
Yeah, now we get there.
But so comparatively to that, I partied very little, right? To compared to how much crazy things that happened there. But you know, I would have my, you know, my kind of times. We would go, you know, drinking with the friends and doing all of that.
I just want to say, I'll edit off all the parts that you feel not comfortable. So
no, no, you can keep it. Yeah. However, right? Because this is the journey that's there. I don't want to, you know, filter it in some way. So, So we would, you know, I would do that, but I wouldn't, you know, go on these crazy things, right? There were certain things where I didn't personally feel, you know, comfortable, you know, taking it beyond a certain point, right? So mostly I would go with close friends. We would, you know, spend good time together.
I just want to give a context, because most of us Indian kids have grown up on American Pie. I think that's like a movie that it's been like.
No, I didn't go. So actually, I'll tell you, right? So if you're talking about American Pie, you're talking about all these relationships and meeting with girls and stuff. So for me, that never really kind of appealed that much, right? So so one of my close, you know, good high school friends, actually, she also went to the same university. So she went somewhere else for a little while. She transferred to this university in the last 2 years. We ended up dating, and she became my wife.
Oh, so, goodness. Oh, wow.
So only one person that I was, I was there.
So. Okay, this is the reality, guys. American Pie is a scam. You mean?
Yeah. At least for me, maybe I'm just a weird person in the, you know, in this whole thing.
Yes. And then that was very fast. And I talked to us about how you met her, if you're comfortable. And
yeah. So, I mean, I met her just, you know, we had just some friends in high school. So we all just, you know, in high school, usually we go and get together, you know, go do something. Right. So she was always the part of the group. We were just good friends over the time. And then in the college time, she, you know, finally she said she came to this university. So we reconnected. And, you know, then I felt at that age, I thought, okay, this is a good time. Maybe I can try some dating and see how it goes.
So I'm going to ask you for a pro tip. How do you not get friend zoned? That's a issue.
I don't know. I mean, for me, I was just, you know, authentic about what it is, what I care about. And I wasn't like desperately anything, right? I just, I was there. If it was a natural connection and we really felt that we were a good fit for each other, it just happened, you know. So I was just doing my own thing and not really expecting anything. And then somehow it just worked out. So
that's beautiful, Anna. Congrats. I hope Akka is very happy now.
Yes. So we have one little daughter now. Oh, she's just about to be 2 this month. Right. So yes. So she's actually Thai. So she's from Thailand. She was born there.
Okay.
And so actually we lived in Thailand for the last couple of years. Now we're back in the States for a while. We're going back to Thailand end of this year.
How is it in Thailand? Could you talk a little bit?
Yeah. So Thailand is a very nice, you know, nice country, very similar. They're mostly Buddhist country. So, you know, many similar things that they do. Even their language has, you know, a lot of the Sanskrit, you know, words, and it's based on the Sanskrit language. So many things that are very similar. Beautiful country. I don't know if you've ever been there or heard of it much. But we got to go. We've been traveling, you know, just driving up and down the country, exploring different places. You know, so it's a very, I like the parts outside of the main Bangkok city. It's mostly, you know, like untouched. It's not super developed country. So very much more nature focused. many, you know, national parks, these types of things.
Awesome, Anna. So from college, how did you, you know, let's go into like how you, where did you actually get the idea that you need to start a company like this? Like who planted that in you, or it just came? Was there an inspiration? Was it a movie? Was it a person? Was it a book?
So I think one big inspiration was that when I was really working in the corporate space, right? I was there, but the style, the way it was structured for me didn't really feel the right fit. Because I
felt the structure. What was the structure?
Just you come in at 9 a.m. and you leave at 5 p.m. It doesn't matter how much work you have or how little work you have. You just have to go into the office and that's it, right? Okay. So there was no, for me, I work in bursts, right? A burst of creativity, you can say. So when there's something I need to do, I just go, I work on that for a long period of time, right? Because I just become very like involved with it. And that's just how I like, that's how I work. And then when there's times where there's nothing to do, I just go and I like to just go maybe for a walk or go explore, go do something else. Right? And just give myself some space to do it. But this one I felt was very rigid, right? And it's just, okay, you know, you have to come in, whether you have work or not, you have to do this. So most of the time I found myself just sitting at my desk, nothing to do. You know, I go around the office asking people, okay, do you need something? Well, can I help you with something?
But were you surprised when you used to ask like that? Were they used to people asking like that?
Sometimes, you know, they were surprised at first, and I think they just got annoyed after a while. So that's the way, you know, I like to work when really there's something I need to do and I need to be involved with it. I can get really be fully immersed in that. And then when there's not much to do, I just, you know, I usually disconnect and go do something, walk in the woods, or go, you know, walk in trees, whatever I can do. So, you know, so to me, that felt very off, right? And you know, generally, the way people work, it felt like mostly people are there for the pay, you know, not necessarily just for the paycheck, but there's not so much of a passion for what's being done, you know, what is it that we can do to create an impact? Mostly it's how do I progress my career? How do I save up as much money so I can retire someday? You know, so as soon as you get there, you're already thinking about what you do, how to get out of there as soon as possible. So to me, that also felt like, okay, so we're really not here for the right reasons. So, you know, if we're thinking how can I retire as quickly as possible, then clearly you're not really enjoying, or you're not really enjoying the process of being there, right? So
why do you think that is happening with people? Like, because it's a dream job that they wanted, a good job, they got it, then they're immediately planning to come out of it. What in your perspective would have happened within them?
I think people fall in love with the lifestyle and, you know, what can I get and what can I do? And so they're thinking the job is just a means to reach the lifestyle, right? And so you just come in, you do the job, you put in your time so that they can really do the things that they care about or like to do.
Right.
And so, you know, so for them, retirement is a chance to go do the real things, right? So I saw it very different. I felt if we're committing 8 hours of our life, if we're giving 8 hours of our life, that's a third of our lives that we're giving to this, you know, for the next however many years you need. So it should be something that's really meaningful to us, that has a deep purpose where we want to be there and doing it. I felt every part of what we do has to be, we have to be fully involved. It shouldn't be something we feel that we need to, you know, avoid as much as possible.
So how did you get that self-awareness then, Nolan? Most people don't have that awareness. Even I never had. But how did you cultivate that? Were you reading some practices even before Sadhguru or?
Yeah, I was definitely doing, some practices, right? Some Buddhist practices. So my wife, she took me to one of her, the temples, right? One of the Buddhist temples that's there. So I met with the monk, and, you know, normally they come, they're very actually academic people and very like, well-studied people who come and do this. And, you know, for almost 30 years, he had been in monkhood. So I had a chance to really speak with him and, you know, and learn about what he's doing, about meditation, what are the benefits of it and so forth. And, you know, he explained it to me in a way that I really understood, right? And I felt, okay, it's a very logical way because that's my whole background, right? I was doing engineering and this type of stuff. So it has to be explained to me in a logical way. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So, you know, to me, I felt this actually makes a lot of sense because then I really took up the meditative practices, which was, you know, kind of working. It was slowly there, right? It was a very mild kind of a thing. I would just do it, you know, as much as I could manage.
So from there, how did you find Sadhguru or what was the need? Was it just a YouTube video or were you seeing something on your job?
Yeah, so there was a convergence of a few things. So, you know, I was interested in this spiritual process there, but definitely after I started the company, right? So a good friend of mine actually kind of pushed me to, they reached out to me and said, hey, you know, come to California, let's start this business together. So then I came there. Then, you know, when we started really going into it, this whole entrepreneurship thing, I had no idea of how it would be, right? Because it's very uncertain. You don't know where the next paycheck comes from. Hmm. My family, of course, or, you know, we worked in my parents, you know, my father would work in the corporate space, right? And he was, you know, very well advanced in his career. So he would speak to me about that. So I know how that space is. Entrepreneurship, I didn't know too much about. So that to me was a huge kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? You know, all of my savings that I had built up over the time were slowly, you know, diminishing. So, you know, I think a lot of that stress was built up. And then I came across one of Sadhguru's videos as well. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. And I kind of watched the videos over, you know, a few months, maybe 6 months time span. And then I heard about the inner engineering program that was happening in 2017 or 18, I forget now. But it was in California, in Long Beach. So it was Sadhguru was coming. It was one of his, you know, the mega programs. So that's when
How was it seeing Sadhguru? And please tell us your genuine experience. Did you feel something or it was just like, okay?
No, for me, it was actually quite a, you know, I don't know. Definitely it was a something very deep in me was touched. So, in fact, you know, at the end of the program, I was going through the program, you know, the last portion of it, you know, we're just there closing our eyes, right? And in the kind of the meditative practice. So there, something really came into my awareness, right? That was beyond my body and these things. And so I was, you know, just completely confused. What is this, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, as soon as the program ended, you know, something intuitively, I had to just, you know, something told me I had to go outside right now. So, you know, I was just pulled that way. I thought I would stay behind, you know, do a few other things. But literally, as soon as the program ended, I had to just go out the door for some reason. So I was just going and, you know, something really came into my awareness as I was going out, you know, from there was like some conference rooms and some other things this way. Just like felt like some overwhelming, I don't know, presence was just kind of, you know, coming on to me. So as soon as I just stepped outside of the building, Sadhguru pops out of the side, right? So I was there face with him. So nothing happened, right? I just did a namaskar. But, you know, for me, I think that was really the point when a more intense kind of journey happened. And, you know, I went on to do some IMA program just before the COVID time hit and all these things.
So tell us about a little bit about that and like how did that steps happen? that was the quickest Samyam experience I've heard. tell us a little bit about visiting the ashram and you know how you found Kalinga. Because you're from a very logical mind, right? So we would like to know because many people are very logical. So
yes. Well, I think all logic was kind of completely destroyed for me, right, at that time.
Right.
Then I, you know, just like the next 6 months, I just I didn't do any volunteer. I didn't do anything. I just focused on my sadhana. That's it. I did the practice every day for the next 6 months without missing a single day. Because to me, that was such a powerful experience, right? That then, you know, my anxiety, all of these things disappeared. I developed something before that was where I would, you know, kind of an autoimmune disease condition, you can say, where I lose patches of hair, right, on my head.
Right.
So that was completely gone within the first month or so of practice. And I you know, after 6 months, I started doing my some volunteering, local volunteering here in, you know, in California. And it was, you know, that also kind of deepened the practice for me, right? And so I was just going through one day through the newsletters. I had never heard about samyama. No one mentioned it to me. Somehow I was just focused on one little word that said there's a samyama meet happening. So I said, what is this? What's this samyama thing? Yeah. So then I went through and did it, right? And so I had done none of the other practices at the time, but there was a pre-samyama meet happening. So I said, okay, let me go attend. What is this about? So I went, I attended the meet. And then they were telling me all the things that you needed to do, right? It's like, okay, you need to do this practice, you have to eat like this.
Yeah.
It's gonna take about 6 hours of your day. I said, what? So if you want to go, you know, right now, if it's not the right fit for you, then, you know, maybe, you know, just leave. It's okay. So they gave us a chance to do it. So I thought, okay, I'll leave. So I was trying to get up, but I could not get up, right? As I was trying to... I was like really like trying to go, but something in me just said no. And I like, it just forced me to sit there. And I had no idea why I was there. I said, there's no way I can make this happen. So why am I even sitting here? Right. So then, you know, they were doing the interviews and, you know, they called me up and then they asked me, right. They said, why do you want to do this? So I was completely confused. I said, I don't know why, right? They said, it's okay, just try. So then I kind of turn around. I see, you know, Sadhguru's photo was there. And then like a brief moment of clarity happened, right? And I just said, I'll make this happen. That's it. I just want to do it because to me, that's just, I just know that I need to do it. So... that meet, I wasn't able to actually go take all of the practices. So for that samyama, it kind of elapsed. But I, you know, for me, I had to make all of the necessary arrangements because I was working in a company, doing so many things, right? That we were going through a lot of challenges at the time too,
right?
In terms of finding, you know, customers, that's been a constant thing, right? So I had to really make the time. So by the time the next one came, I said, okay, I have to do this because there was one Sadhguru Darshan kind of a satsang that happened. And this was just before the COVID kind of thing that happened.
Mm, yeah.
There was one thing Sadhguru said, which is if you're planning to do samyama, you have to plan for it and make it happen because you don't know when you may get another chance to do it. So somehow he knew something was happening. I don't know. But so that was like another kind of a push for me that, okay, no matter what, I need to make this happen, right? So yeah, then I did it, you know, and really had to be very disciplined about the sadhana.
Tell us about the schedule, like how you made Surya Kriya, this thing, and the diet also. Please talk like how you made that happen. Were you married by then?
By then I was married, yes.
So how did Akka react to all this sadhana?
I mean, she was supportive, but you know, still very kind of skeptical, cautious, like, why, you know, what's all this going on?
Yeah.
Why are you doing all this stuff? Because she wasn't a Nisha meditator or anything, but, you know, she would hear some of his talks and she would, you know, generally she liked, you know, how he would speak and all of those things. So, yeah, but, you know, the sadhana, I would be up, you know, 4 a.m. Doing the sadhana, go into the office, I would do, you know, the Sukha Kriya and these things. The evening time, you know, that's when the empty stomach condition, do more sadhana in the office, and then, you know, go home. I would probably do bicycling home for, you know, maybe 2-4 kilometers. So and then the food, of course, yeah, that was also quite a challenge, right? Because then very little time for me to keep up with all of these things. So, you know, somehow I would manage something, right? Go eat something, or, you know, kind of most of the time I would reduce my food quota. I just eat two meals a day and do whatever I could to do those things. So soaked peanuts, groundnuts, these things. Yeah.
How did your colleagues, did they see you doing all this sadhana in the office?
Oh, yeah. I think definitely they saw the intensity of this. And I think many of them after the Samyama program also, you know, it was there and they did it. I think for many of them, that's a little bit intense, right? Mm-hmm. So also coming back from Samyama, I was very kind of an intense, kind of a way of doing everything. So I would say we were going through many different phases. Many people came and went, and I felt that, I really was more focused around what direction we need to take the company.
Right.
And I think not everybody was really aligned with that. Right. Mm-hmm. So today I'm probably the only person that's the same person in the company over the years.
Okay.
So I think, you know, for various reasons, whether that's financial reasons also, you know, because we were just kind of establishing ourselves over the last 8 years, and also just general purpose, you know, direction and what are we trying to do as a company? Many people weren't aligned.
Okay. So now could you now talk a little bit more about your company and what is that alignment that you're looking for in people and what kind of people so that, you know, if they're willing, they can reach out to you? And
yeah, so that's what, you know, I think as a company, we really want to foster the well-being of everybody, right? Of the employees. We want to really see how do we support them to become conscious individuals, right? So they have maybe their time for sadhana and doing these things, and work can be another way of supporting their sadhana as well, right? So the type of work we do should really be like, you know, in the ashram, we do seva, right? And these types of things. So I think work can also be arranged in that way. But of course, there has to be financial support. They need those types of things. But we can try to find work opportunities of other businesses who are trying to do some positive things in the world, right? Create a, whether they're focused on sustainability, agroforestry, you know, agriculture, or, you know, education. So there's so many different aspects that we can focus on where, you know, the skills that people have had within our community, I think it's a very young group of people. You know, most of them, I think, are, you know, in this tech industry or marketing or, you know, software development, all of these things. So right now as a company, that's where our focus is. We want to expand that as much as possible so we can really try to find opportunities for as much of the community as we can. But right now we're really positioned as a software agency.
So what is like the minimum qualification that one needs to apply to you? And can they work from India or do they need to be in US? How does that work?
So we're a fully remote team. And in fact, you know, we have most of our team members are based in India right now. Right. So we one of them, Manimaran, is actually building, you know, one space, right? So kind of like right, maybe 10 kilometers away from the ashram, we have a small kind of a space that we're using like a farm stay. And so it's just getting completed.
We're like a what? Like a farm?
Farm stay. So it's like
farm stay. Okay, beautiful.
Yeah. So just like we can use it for Airbnb or different, people. We can use it for hosting networking events. So definitely, I think, you know, you should go there and check it out.
Yeah,
so
we'll
give you the invite.
So
we're really trying to build up these things. You know, I have kind of big plans to make it so that this community, we can create group benefits, you know, maybe we can actually build spaces across different areas for people to actually stay there and live if they like, but definitely we're setting this up to be fully remote kind of environment.
Yeah, no, it's very beautiful, Anna, because I see, you know, people want to do a job, but outside other corporate settings do not support. If they want some 15 minutes for shunya, they will have to explain a lot. It's right. Not that easy for them to, but I think since you have brought this up, I think this is a very beautiful initiative. And I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, thank you. I know that's how I felt, right? I felt that that wasn't there. And so I wanted to create this kind of a space where it's a much more flexible working environment where we just focus on make sure you're able to get the commitments, the work that you have done, right? And you manage your time, right? It's not, okay, you have to do it from this time to this time. Sometimes it's there. Meetings have to happen with, you know, with the clients and so forth. So we have to manage it, but we leave the time management really to each person so that they can do it, you know, according to how they can, how they need.
So where can people reach out to you? Where would be the best place to send their CVs or what do they need to send you if they need to apply for it?
Yeah, so we have kind of a WhatsApp community that we've created. It's called Namasanga. Okay. So I have a form, like a Google form that people can fill. Maybe I can share it with you and you can post in the description. And, you know, people can just fill out the form. We'll kind of add them to the community. We'll share updates even about this farm stay, how it's going. That's kind of our first, you can say, flagship. And we plan, you know, if that goes well, we want to expand it and build it in different places. And then work opportunities, of course, where not just us, but others in the community can also share, right? So they can connect with other professionals within the community. So I think we just want to create this space where, you know, common group of people, common set of values who really are each focused on their inner growth. And, you know, once they're Isha graduates and they're looking for...
Does not skipping sadhana get extra benefits?
No. We have to keep up with the sadhana. We want to encourage to do that. That's the whole reason for this. So...
Beautiful, Anna. So I think we'll keep it short and simple so that, you know, people can make use of this podcast. So thank you so much, Anna. It's beautiful because I had been thinking for this long time, why is not someone coming up with a company where, you know, it's a little bit more conscious, where they can work under people who are also conscious, who are on a spiritual path. It will be supportive for them. And they can understand what is happening within them. Even when certain struggles happen, they understand the person is going through something. So I forgot to ask you, through your own journey, did you go through some struggles with the practices, or was it an effortless journey?
Definitely, you know, I would say that I haven't missed a single day in my practices, at least my Shambhavi and my Shakti Chalana Kriya. Even if it comes very late night, I do it, right? It's like, for me, that's one thing I decided. No matter what, it's, to me, it's more than my life to do these things. And so... it's definitely a challenge because we move around a lot. My schedule is crazy. I have a, you know, one daughter now, so I have to figure it out.
Right.
But, you know, that's one thing I have not stopped. You know, the different practices have been there, but these two I've been doing on a daily basis.
Okay, Anna. Thank you so much. So anything in the end that you would love to leave the audience with?
No, I think it's about time that we organize ourselves, you know, in this community. I think everybody is kind of all over the place. Right. We want to really bring that together and create the maximum impact. And so I think everybody's trying to do their own thing. There's not enough guidance and opportunity. So I think if we really come together, get a little bit organized, I think there's a lot of great things that we can achieve as a group. So I really encourage everybody to join this, you know, who comes across this.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anna.
Okay. Thank you so much. Namaskaram, Isaac.